Friends, I want to draw your attention today to Luke chapter 12, to the passage we read, and the 32nd verse. Don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased, has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. I want to revisit something that I spoke on for my moderatorial address down at Ballylagan. So if you were there on the opening evening of Synod, you'll have heard a lot of what I had to say. Hope you don't mind hearing it again. Now, if ever there was a sobering indicator as to where the south of Ireland is at, morally and spiritually, surely it was the cheer that went up in Dublin when the result of the so-called abortion referendum, the repealing of the 8th Amendment, was announced. It was louder even than the one for the so-called same-sex marriage announcement. You would have thought that the Republic's football team had just scored the winning goal in the World Cup final. And immediately you may have noticed the ominous placards were waving, declaring the North is next. One woman declared, "The North is stuck in irrelevant Victorian values, and we will sweep them all away. We need to get with the times." And what was it all about? All this protest, all this sound and fury. Well, the one place in this world where totally vulnerable human beings should be safe, that is in the womb. The womb is no longer a safe place. Modern, sophisticated, so-called enlightened people have reached in to steal and to kill and to destroy. And surely God will judge us for such wanton killing and waste of life. And it's all in the name of rights. It's all in the name of compassion. We're told it's a medical thing. Whatever you think of our politicians up here in the North, we've got to thank those who did take a stand, who pointed out that the killing, for example, of millions of unborn babies surely amounts to a Holocaust. Is that not true? What about the people walking around living normal lives in Northern Ireland? Because the Abortion Act of 67 wasn't extended to the North. We're living through sad, grievous times. And what about the church in all of this? In the midst of all these scary developments, do we not feel our smallness and our helplessness? We seem to be unable to hold back the tide of evil in our day. Well, there is a verse that I go back to when I'm tempted to feel this way. It is our Savior speaking to his disciples in that verse I mentioned already. "Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Christ speaks to encourage his people. And I want to bring a message of encouragement to you today here in Loughbrickland. Christ encouraging his people. Luke tells us that Christ is speaking here to his disciples, verse 22. And those who have been chosen out of the pagan world, verse 30. But they're worried. They're anxious about many things. Their faith is weak. Christ is telling them his kingdom has got to be their first priority. Service in the kingdom is what matters. He speaks of the second coming, when all will be called to give account. Peter asks the question, Lord, is this for us or for everyone? And Christ says, this is for every faithful and wise servant of the King. Those who are living in the light of the second coming. And to whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. So it's against that background that Christ speaks so tenderly. And he uses a form of address apparently found nowhere else in the New Testament. Don't be afraid, little flock. I want us to look at three things that emerge from this text today. First of all, we have here surely an accurate description. Little flock. Little flock. This is not one of the huge flocks that you would see in the rich grazing grounds over in the mainland or away in New Zealand or in Australia. This is just a little flock. And it's a flock of sheep. A small group, weak, vulnerable, easily spooked. If you know anything about sheep, you will understand what I'm saying. Apt to wander away. Always looking for that greener pasture on the other side. This is something which affects our denomination. During the past year, the home section of the mission committee sent out a questionnaire to the sessions of each congregation regarding the spiritual health of the congregation. I want just to read a couple of sentences from that, which are sobering. While a few congregations are growing numerically, most are struggling. We rejoice in those who have joined the denomination, but in spite of this, numbers are barely remaining stable. Normally, we would expect growth from one generation to the next, but that is not the case. We are not holding our own. In the 10-year period which was considered by sessions, 111 members left to worship in local non-RP churches. We need to consider why this is the case and what can be done about it. Yes, little flock. Little covenanting flock. An accurate description. But then secondly, we have an amazing declaration. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. It's quite an amazing declaration about an amazing donation. Now that verb, to be pleased, when it says the Father has been pleased, technically that verb is in the past tense. It's what we call an aorist. And So Christ says, your Father has already been pleased, has already chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. You come seeking the kingdom. The Father says, it's yours. I've already given it to my children, to my little flock. It's like someone being told, I have good news for you. There's a legacy which has been left to you. It will transform your life, at least materially. But you've got to go and claim it and lay hold of it and then use it. Seek ye the kingdom? Yes. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom already. Is there not something of a contradiction here? We're to seek it, and yet we are also to receive it as a gift. Well, it's like this. The citizen of the kingdom is one who has received new life. That makes us active as believers when we are born again. And it is with this new power that we begin, in Paul's phrase, to work out our salvation, because God is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we come to the place of commitment and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin a life of prayer. We begin a life of witness. We begin a life of goodness for the Lord. Psalm 1 likens the Christian to a tree. A tree is totally dependent on the gifts of the sun, the oxygen, the rain, the soil. These things it receives as gifts. Yet it's not inactive. It seeks out, it sends out rather, the roots and the leaves, seeking for these gracious benefits. Those who know these things estimate the amount of work performed by a single large tree in a single day to raise its needed nourishment to, quote, equal to the amount of energy expended by a person carrying 300 buckets of water, two at a time, up a 10-foot flight of stairs. That's quite a lot of water. But the tree is able to do that because of its root system and its system of leaves. And so the faithful, in comparison with the big battalions of evil that are against us, they are few. Yes, we're painfully aware of our weakness. And yet the Father has given to them, to you and to me, and to all of us here today, from the youngest to the oldest, who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been pleased to give us the kingdom already. We possess it. We share in its blessings. And we will share ultimately in its consummation when Christ returns. And we will be with him forever. We will reign with him for all eternity. So, an amazing declaration. Your Father has been pleased, has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. You may just be a little flock, but the Father has given you an amazing gift, membership in his kingdom. And so we come thirdly and finally to an appropriate deduction. We've seen an accurate description, an amazing declaration, now finally an appropriate deduction. In the light of all of this, how are we to react now? And Christ says, don't be afraid. We're afraid, are we not, as we think about our country and the future that seems to lie ahead of us? We sometimes feel afraid, do we not? Christ says, don't be afraid, little flock. Have no fear. Your Father has given you the kingdom, and he gives the kingdom to those who seek for it. So this is the application we deduce from our text. We are not to be afraid. Yes, in spite of all that I was saying and by means of introduction, as we think of the moral state of our nation and of the nation in the south, in spite of all of that, Christ says to us today, don't be afraid. Don't give way to fear. Don't let fear paralyze you. In the dark days of the Second World War, the American president of the time rallied his troops whom he was sending into battle. The thing we must fear, he said, is fear itself. Do not let it paralyze you. Let's not be afraid. Christ is reigning. Christ is king. Christ has already won the victory. Over 260 years before the American president gave that rallying call, there was another rallying call that sounded out. It was the 17th of July, 1680. It was given by the leader of the Covenanters at that time, Richard Cameron. He preached at a place called Avondale, near Drumclog. It was 3 days before his death. His text was the words we were singing earlier. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. It was Richard Cameron's last sermon. Here's what he said. The work of building the kingdom of Christ shall be carried on in spite of all opposition. If you be not delivered and made a free and purified people, you shall no more be a nation than the Jews at this day. But I say this not to cast you down, but to stir you up, to take hold of Christ, to range yourself under his standard, his banner for Christ's crown and covenant. Range yourself under this standard, for our Lord shall not fail to raise it in this world. But oh, that it might be in Scotland. We echo those words, do we not? And say, oh, that it might be in Ulster, in Northern Ireland, in the Republic, in England, in Wales. Oh, that God would visit us in revival. Oh, that he would come to awaken sinners, that they might, in the words of Cameron, range themselves under the standard for Christ's crown and covenant. Yes, the times are dark spiritually. That abortion referendum I mentioned, it's only a symptom of a far deeper malaise. Christ comes today to encourage his people. Fear not, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of our Savior. When he spoke to the disciples on that day when they were full of doubt and fear, and he said, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has already chosen to give you the kingdom." So we thank you, Lord, for this amazing donation, for this amazing declaration. And we pray, loving Father, that we would, in light of it, have done with fear, have done with trembling, and range ourselves under Christ's banner for Christ's crown and covenant. Lord, that we might take our stand in our own country, in our own day and generation. To that end, Lord, speak to us, call us, help us, and to your name we will give all the praise, honour and glory, now and forever. Amen.